You've heard the buzzword for years. Scale onboarding, CSMs should be doing training, digital is a strategy, not a segment. But here's the truth. Most customer success teams are juggling a mess of tools, changing priorities, and have barely enough bandwidth to breathe, let alone scale. That vision we've all been chasing, it is finally real. Learning isn't trapped inside an LMS anymore. It's embedded across the entire customer journey. And that's where Skilljar, now part of Gainsight, is changing the game. Skilljar is becoming the backbone of scalable self-serve learning, whether it's in your academy, inside your product, in your community, or beyond. And because it's integrated with Gainsight's customer OS, it connects to where your customer data and your CSMs already live. This isn't theory, it is happening now. Companies like Airtable, Zendesk, Okta, Miro, and Asana are already doing it, with Skilljar and Gainsight leading the charge. So if you're ready to stop duct taping your customer education strategy together, visit Skilljar.com today. And I want to thread through that busy component too and talk about, look, businesses are busy. It's in the word itself, busyness, right? Business. No, seriously, when a business is made out of people, it's an organization. Maybe you have somebody that's an enablement professional. Maybe you have a change management team. Chances are you might, but you're not connected to them. And now you have a customer and a person in that account that's a charged, that's charged to onboard or get this to their field. And now what are the questions that come up? This is one that constantly surprises me too, but I've learned the hard way that there's really two sides of this when you're engaging with a company that says, hey, I know I realize I need training. Okay. Underneath that is, we've got all this going on. We've got people that are busy. They're hard to get on a phone call, much less sit down for a 2-hour training class, right? They also may not know what they want. They know they need training. How do you communicate that, right? In a lot of times when you have an educational services team, you have packages and programs, and you can do a little bit of triage, understand what somebody needs. In earlier phase companies that are in customer education, hey, I've got my academy, or just call me up or whatever, and I'll try to help you out. Now, a customer also equally can know what they want, but now they're having a hard time articulating that. I can't articulate apparently, but they go, well, I need to have training. Well, what do you need training for? Well, I don't know. Or I know I need this and this, but not that. And okay, that's a dance. That's really hard. This is where now we have to lean in onto some other nuanced type activities, such as having someone who is an advisor, a coordinator, or even plays like a customer success manager. And the reality that when it really comes down to it is that businesses, you just need to work together to hold both that business and the company delivering the vendor accountable to the outcomes that they desire. Again, falling back to customer success. If I'm in a traditional, conventional, again, don't hate me for this because I'm being extreme. I could have a company that has training and they're all packages and I sell them and I go, you know what? That's it. This is the price. Take it or leave it. You don't want it. Fine. And then I deliver the training and it's done. And somebody might have a complaint. Maybe the instructor was bad, but really there's an accountability that comes in both sides of the equation for both the vendor and the customer together, and sometimes even third parties like a partner. So in my case, we use partner training trainers that complete a triangle, so to speak. And then universally, I think there's a real tendency for leaders in particular. Now I'm talking about C-level, highly ranked individuals. And I've been challenged on this recently, but I will still stand on this hill and hopefully not die in it, that we tend to disregard or dismiss the value of learning. And there's reasons for that. It's not just, it's just not important, or I don't want to pay for it, like I've said before. It's that internally versus or externally, this is extra spend. This is time we're going to have to invest together. I think that leaders generally or often don't necessarily see, and this is what they can understand, they can't see easily how learning impacts their business because, and this is where I'm bold again, it is so squishy if you're not, if you don't have the formality of having a very good data structure where I can understand where people are going and what they're doing, and then actually know several, and I call this the Trinity, right? It's who is learning, who is the learner, and that is in the context of the individual and the company. That's your granularity. What are they learning, right? And that could be many different things, not just an on-demand thing, but a class, a webinar, a workshop. It might be a blog, a podcast. There's a lot more verbs in play now. It might just be something, it's on an email. Okay. That's a learning target. I was on a call. We talked about this today. It is really interesting. So this is really complicated to get to that third part, which is usage data. This is going back to the time I spent at Gainsight where we talked a lot about, I know all of these different things and I can easily munge those together, squish them together and say, I know that Dave went here, he did this. And then, you know what? 2 weeks later, I saw him achieve this outcome or today, or I see the usage of that company after I came in and did a large training event over a period of a month with different groups. I can fraction that and say, well, I see this cohort group, which are my admins and my champions and my leaders and my end users and my whatever, however you slice it, the dice, the more granular, the better. But it's hard enough just to get basic dashboards that are in real time. And I complain and lament those all the time, but it's nobody's fault. It is the fact that until we get to a point where we have a systemic approach to this that makes sense and that leaders say, oh, okay, well, for us to do learning well, then we have to have this trinity of data, the customer and account data, the learning data of all kinds, even web-based. It might be a video on YouTube, you know? And then the product usage data all working together to achieve outcomes. So again, no fault on anybody. This is us. This is, I'm speaking to you as education professionals. This is on us to drive for. And if we don't make that front and center to every organization that we work for, and sadly learn how to do it to lead people forward into solving this problem, we're always going to have this challenge or have this challenge. It's that value, the outcomes. What was the value to me? It's hard. And then I'd say probably two more bullets. One is internally, I'm sorry to say that I don't think leaders invest enough in learning and education with caveats. Now, I'm extremely thrilled to see what my organization, Atlassian, how much investment they have put into our organization and our learning team. It's massive. And that says a lot about where we're at and why I'm here, because that's something I was looking for. We understand the value of learning in a very concrete way. And we've dedicated resources and as in people and platforms and to deliver really high quality learning experiences. You also need those people to be good resources that have experiences themselves, and we invest in them. How do they go to conferences? What do they learn? How do we learn together? And then the tools. You know, the tools are changing fast. I can mention various vendors. You'll see a sponsor, Parda.io, that we have, and Cluso. These are newer technologies that are coming out there. We've got new vendors, new sponsors coming on to C-Lab with Learn Worlds and Learn Experts. We have Skilljar and Gainsight in the loop and more to come. And all of these tools and why we talk with these folks at C-Lab is because they are helping us change the entire narrative and bringing in the kinds of tools that allow us to move faster, to get more information on our learners, to help them learn in a way, in a motif that matters to them, that they like, they care about. So one more is, and this is probably one of the most important and yet contentious topics I can talk about, it's disorder or misalignment. And I'll tap some of my friends out there. And I know Samantha Murray and Courtney Sembler have both been talking about this with a new initiative they have that's CX aligned, this, the term aligned. That's really important for us to pay attention to. Programs are fractured throughout our organizations. There's no real connection or through line sometimes between an enablement team and an education team and a professional services team or a customer success team. They're all on their own, maybe even marketing, delivering what could be labeled training and learning, but they're not connected and they're quite often not aligned. That I heard, interesting enough, anecdotally, I had a discussion with a vendor just yesterday where we talked about there's, and of course this is anecdotal, I don't have a reference for you, but there's a trend of companies hiring more C-level type people with learning in their remit. I would argue that that's the chief customer officer's role or operations, maybe. But if that person at the very highest tippy top level of an organization, we don't have someone in that suite in the boardroom that goes, where are we at in education and learning? What is it that we should be doing? How should we be changing? How are we teaching our customers and our partners and our team? I don't differentiate between any of those. And that's why I say we're taking learning up a notch. It's not just the customer or partner enablement or internal L&D. It really is part of the same fabric, this learning fabric that we're trying to knit together. But anyway, that's really cool. If you have a company where you have a learning professional at the highest ranks, wonderful. Let's, you know, tell me about it. I'd like to interview some of them and see what they're doing, particularly not in legacy type companies, but very much in B2B SaaS type environments. Okay. So again, this is where I stop and I ask myself, okay, well, this is all cool, but what, where are we going with all this, Dave? What is success actually going to look like for us? And here's where I'm going to challenge myself to work out a little bit more, but let me caveat this by saying that I'm thinking about a lot of stuff in my current role. And this is actually interesting to me because one of the things that I like to communicate to our audience of customer education leaders, maybe even less so, but education services folks, is that there, for those of you listening out there today, I want you to keep a couple things in mind. The opportunity to work in a much larger organization and imbue that organization with things that you may have learned as a customer education leader. And here's where titles mean much less. You could go be the head of customer education at a company, and then you can go like me into a much larger company, be part of a team. And this is so exciting. Titles mean so much less now to me because I'm a leader. We're, many of us are in leader roles, but we're all working together to direct that leadership and learn from one another and have specific remits. So I'd like you to keep in mind that your journey, if you're really loving this stuff and you're coming from education of customer ed, don't worry about titles and things. Go join a larger team and see how you can work together. And similarly, if you're in education services and you want to go back the other way to a smaller customer education type environment, it's going to look different and you might be wearing a lot more hats, right? So right now, what I'm trying to do is narrate a little bit about where I'm headed and the things that my leadership and my team are all grappling with today. And this is really kind of new. So slowing down a little bit, we're getting near the end of my narrative. This is going longer than I thought, which is really good. Okay. So right now, let me tell you about where I'm at. And my goal is really under the hood, when you think about it, retooling organizational approach to what we'd call, and I'll tip my hat to Marshall Walker Lee, my manager, who's kicked me and prompted me in this way to think about learning as at Atlassian as being more of a modern educational services function. Okay. What do I mean by that? Okay. Modern. Maybe there's a better phrase for this. I am still doing everything I've always been doing for customer education, but now I'm in a world where we must have formalized educational services in parallel to all the things we're knitting this fabric, this learning fabric together. Again, I'll link an article here, but there's a really cool article that I saw about this from TSIA that's changing the narrative of what learning is about for big companies. And like I'd said earlier in this discussion, we are now moving, I think, away, or I hope more of us are, away from that revenue focus to more of an investment and a success driven focus. I want our customers to fall in love with Atlassian like I am, where, and I say this kind of tongue in cheek, but not really, that I really am excited for what this platform, the system of work can do. Well, let me get into this a little bit here. So, again, you're in a startup business. Let's back into it from a customer point of view. If you're in a startup style business, you may have one or two or three people, maybe, and you're just trying to get learning to the customer in the first place. There's a general guide on how we go do that. I can talk about this at length. We've talked about the show over and over again. And so if you see any folks out there that are talking about this and are coming up with some marvelous framework, it's nothing new. We've done this. We all have a good idea of how to do it. There's a general approach, right? You come in and either start with building live training and iterate on that, and you put it into academy. You might just have documentation. You do what you have the capability of doing with the resources that you have, ultimately building that up to the point where now I find myself in an organization. I'm a large owner enterprise business. I'm working with thousands, tens of thousands, ideally millions of potential learners in our customer base that we want to touch, right? We want them to work with our learning programs in one way or another. And you're also now, if you're in an enterprise type company, you are working with customers who have much, much higher expectations that they expect you to deliver training, and they expect it to be quality, and they expect all the things as if they were paying another vendor. And this is really particularly hard when, and you've been in the position that I have too, I'm a very small company, I'm scrappy, and now I have Deloitte or Accenture coming to me and wanting this really well-articulated run partner enablement thing that they can train people with. I just don't have that. So I have to scaffold it up. And there's always a look of, okay, now this is where you need to grow to. So if you're in one of those companies and you're growing, you're eventually going to have to grapple with the fact that you need to have education services methodologies baked into your program. This is the wedding together. So something I think is changing is that now again, our North Star is no longer just revenue, right? My team is not waiting on that. We're focused primarily on adoption, engagement, retention, right? And adoption is number one. Are you using the platform as an enterprise customer? How deep are you going? What are you getting out of it? None of their pillars that hold this up. First is scale, open, modular learning through university, through community, right? That's scale. I can point you to a webpage and you go, oh, hey, there's all this stuff here. Wow, that was a lot, Dave. I can spend hours on here and then I won't because I'm a busy customer. But no, we can scale that. That's one to many type approaches. That modality is really important, right? Now the second word, and I will say hello to my team members and in particular for helping frame this up, tailoring. Tailoring is different than bespoke or custom. Those words scare me. Not really, but it is Halloween time. I'm recording this. When you work with a customer and says, I need a custom class and I need all this stuff and it has to be in my environment in this context with everything you know about me, blah, 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 blah. Nope, not going to happen. Tailored means that I can bring more generic type materials that will map to exercises that are more universal. But then I can kind of lightly superimpose different things, or I can have a customer help me contextualize what they're learning. For example, if I'm doing a live training class and I tap Judy, who's I'll cast in outreach and where I was working a lot of sales development reps. Judy, can you show me, can you log in and I'm going to have you screen share. Can you show me how you would create a new opportunity in Salesforce to do X? Okay, cool. You can do that. And then I'm seeing that environment and I'm working with their language and their nuances, right? We don't really always have the time to do that. So when I say tailoring, splits the difference. And then finally, there's the concept of the pillar of continuity. And that is, we can't just come in and come out or just do a one and done type learning approach. When we do that, it always ends up being oh, cool, I'm excited, everybody's happy about this product, cool. Go away, forget it, it's gone, right? the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve or always comes into play. You don't touch this application a day, 2 days, 90, 99% of that is gone and you're going to be back looking at things again. So we need to have this feedback loop, not just with learning, but also what do you think? What did you try? And this is where things like customer success functions really come into play. Our community comes into play. Different kinds of learning functions are events where at Atlassian, you go to team and you can find all kinds of cool learning stuff. RovoCon was a big thing this year in 2025, where now you can get hands-on and learn about how this new AI platform within the context of our system of work at Atlassian is changing things. And all of those little points, all of these little stars all align eventually. Now we're seeing and learning over a period of time, the continuous learning motion, okay? What I think is particularly important here is that we're now, and now hopefully you're seeing this in my language, we're threading customer education and education services together. It is both and, right? Both and, not one or the other. We need both of these things and we need to figure out how to reconcile this and bring all this into one space and call it, what do you want to call it? I don't know. I still call it customer education. I might die on that hill. I don't know. Okay. Self-reflection time. So now this is not all about delivering training anymore. It is building capabilities that can flex to any and all kinds of learners' needs. And right there, I didn't say just customer. I could say customer needs. It could be a partner. It could be our enablement team. It could be customer success teams, whoever it is. Think about the customer and replace the customer with any of those synonyms, right? A customer is a learner. Customers are also internal to your company. I wouldn't go as far as saying your janitor needs to know how to use your platform, but it's everybody else should at least have some understanding of what we're selling. And by merit of doing software, we all can, right? So the other thing is that, let's go back. It's building capability that can flex to any and all kinds of learner needs. And every customer, every account we have, and I don't mean to say this pejoratively, every customer is indeed a snowflake by merit of look at a snowflake and how it's, it's fractal and there's it's kind of cool when you look at one. But we have to address unique cultural differences, business working differences, enterprise services restrictions, enterprise security restrictions. Maybe I can't get on the firewall to go take your training. Core principles, things like that. And that's the key. By Snowflake, I mean we have to flex and adapt, tailor experience to unique learner needs. But it doesn't mean we have to create expensive bespoke programs every single time. We still have to scale.
Do you ever feel like your product team ships faster than you can build training? Yeah, me too. And that's why I've been checking out what the folks at LearnExperts are doing. Their AI platform called Leo takes your existing content, docs, slides, wikis, recordings, and turns it into full training programs, publishing in multiple modalities to nail blended learning for your customers 85% faster than traditional methods. And get this, when your product updates, Leo can update the content faster by automatically incorporating it into your existing outline, content, and even your end of course test or exams. LearnExpert shares that their customers are reporting 90% efficiency here. Now that's time back to actually focus on strategy, or let's be honest, to finally take a lunch break. Plus, it connects with platforms like Skilljar and others so that you can publish straight to your academy without missing a beat. Check it out at learnexperts.ai/CELab and see how you can keep your learning and test in release mode. LearnExperts, build like an expert, update like a pro.
Okay. Now we're going into the last phase of this and I'll start to wrap it up. What's different? What is different here? Between customer education, education services, I think of peanut butter jelly time, right? This is an area where I really want to talk about how what we've learned in customer ed just works. And it's really come full circle to impact customer or education services in a significant way. So again, I'm using this terminology of learning as a fabric. It is, think about, you know, a, a blanket or something. It's a web of different threads that all come together to embrace your customer, your accounts, like clothing. What can we offer our customers? Well, there's a whole litany of things. If I were to enumerate right now, which, hey, we could have a knowledge base, we could have a community of forums, we could have instructor-led courses, we could deliver them live or virtual instructor-led. We might be talking about field enablement. We might be talking about change management. We might be talking about punchy influencer type videos that go up on YouTube. We might have our university or academy. We have certification and credentials, you name it, right? There's all these different things. And the reason I go down this list is, quite frankly, because it's important to understand that learning can take many shapes and forms. And if we're not all, again, I'll use the term aligned, working together within our company with our customers and thinking not just about one end of the spectrum is just get it to the customer fast, but the other end of the spectrum is how do we tailor programs, build learning experiences, package them up for the kinds of enterprise customers that we that deserve and will pay for often this kind of a training substrate, right? And what are all the things together? So when these threads all weave together, learning, again, it becomes continuous and it becomes alive. What's more is that I really think we're doing something different now. That's not just about checking the box. We aren't, as I said before, just quote unquote doing training. We are helping people who are just like us, trying to develop their own system of work that blends together an array of different software and processes around that. We're giving all kinds of these informal and informal motions actually that help connect with people. You think about the prominence of community. And earlier in C-Lab, a couple back, we've talked to Erica Kuhl from who's big into community. We talked about Brian Oblinger and his programming and how community has become important. It's really important, folks, that we give people all of these different, it's about people. It's not just AI, although we can talk about that as well. And what I'd like to come back once again to, and this is a really good place to kind of lean out of this discussion, is if you know us at C-Lab, we've created our customer education manifesto. This is, and I love this term now, particularly now that I'm at Atlassian, we talk a lot about Agile. It's informed by that. This is something that our community, our network of friends and peers and such had developed over quite a long period of time. And Adam and I baked into our ethos for C-Lab. It frames up how we think about our customers and their experiences with learning, and it puts us in their shoes. So what I'm going to do here now is kind of do my own speed round, which is talking about how today, generally with Atlassian, the programs that you can see if you go to our website and you look around, how they're really leaning in to address both the services approach and customer education. Again, both and, right? You can go to C-Lab's website, customer.education, and just look up Customer Education Manifesto if you want to follow along. But let me bulletize this. So again, number one, guide customers to value. Okay, value versus educating them on every feature. What does that mean? Well, we're shifting away from feature-based, click-pathy type learning. One of the programs that we have that I really love is my team member Kevin's Atlassian Answered program, which these are really cool influencer-style content, pieces of content video that are out there on YouTube, and actually we're embedding them all throughout our programming. That this is content that we're experimenting with and we're finding that gives you immediate relatable information with the, when I say it, WIFM. You know what WIFM means? What's in it for me in a way we care about. I would much rather watch Kevin talk about how to use Jira or Confluence or JPD or any of our stuff, because now this content is compressed down into minutes, not hours. It's not a curriculum. I go, oh, this is a really good frame. I watch that video. I go into an instructor-led class and I'm immediately connected with the value of what I'm there to learn. Or I might be out on social media. I might be on YouTube and I see a post. Well, wow, this is really cool. And that opens my mind up to understanding what the value is. What is in it for me? What is in it for my company? Why should I care about this platform and these tools? The next one, number two in the manifesto, is you're building a core program that scales versus you're customizing it every time, right? You're starting to use small modular programs. An example that I can tell you from multiple experiences is where we formerly used to have 4 to 8 hour classes, instructor led. Okay. That's a lot of time to ask somebody to commit to. Granted, a lot of the times these are administrator types or technical resources or developers that are working on harder stuff. And yeah, it's not unreasonable, but what you find at the highest levels when you're working with an education services topology, if I have those long units where I have a customer comes along and says, nah, I don't need this part, why am I going to pay for this? I don't want an 8 hour class. Now we're modularizing that. Smaller bits that can be shuffled around like Legos or put together, assembled more flexibly. And you know what you may do is, I'll again talk about the program that we had at Alassia. Vanessa and Sean were two of the people that created this on the team that I was working with at the time. We had on-demand material that wedded itself with virtual instructor-led or live material. And that really accelerated and helped dose or sequence drip content over time so that you're ready when you came into to ask questions and stuff, rather than being completely inundated with an AR training going, I don't have any questions because my brain is full, right? Different kinds of approach that's informed by customer ed with that on-demand blending with the instructor-led, more conventional learning styles. Let's go further. And now when you're talking about the componentry that's you're modularizing content, you're doing instructor-led, well, there's things that let's expand out to, let's say we're training 1,000 people in a company. This is an enterprise company. Within that 1,000 people is a percentage of technical administrators, maybe a couple people that are really, really important in that. Then you know even more. Then there's the leadership. Then there's the end users. Then there's managers that need other dashboards and stuff. So you can identify 3 or 4 different cohorts. Now, if you were going to go to that company and say, oh, I'm going to give you training, right? I'm going to give you training for this. Cool. And I lay it out and I price it with the packages that I have. All of a sudden that comes out to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars or even more. I've seen 7-figure deals for training. Now, where customer education can blend and meld with that is where, well, you know, one of the things I could do is say, okay, well, let's focus on your admins and bring them into instructor-led courses. Let's decrease the time that they need to spend by giving them some of the online material that we have. Then bring in some certification, some Q&A. Their time commitment goes way down and their flexibility goes way up because they know, oh, I've got this course, they're that much time. This experience is going to be this. I can do it on my own time, in or outside of work, whatever. Now for the bigger field, let's say I'm addressing the other 900 people or 950 people or whatever it is that are others. That is good for having one-to-many virtual instructor-led classes for the masses that they want them if they prefer that live experience. On-demand content that threads through. I'm working particularly with people that are like enablement folks inside of a client account. And then we're working with this experience of kind of like a hub where it's speaking to that person that's helping the company learn, to where we can bring in motifs of, okay, well, you want to do training? Let's do a train the trainer and let's train up a few of your key players that really are motivated and want to help their teams, and then have them train the field, and we'll make sure that they're more or less certified to be able to do that. Now you have boots on the ground within your company that know how to do the base training, and they're go-to people. They're seen as champions. And then over time, we can always revert to, okay, well, you're always having new people come in. You can't look at it again as a one and done. What's going to happen 6 months out when you have 100 new people enter your workforce? That's where we've recorded some of the sessions. Now we have train the trainer, we have on demand, and now this company can use all of our content. right? And flexibly, and we can work together in a partnership. This makes learning an ever-present continuous type motion that is very meaningful. Okay, let's go further. The next manifesto item is lead with data tied to business outcomes versus measuring our activity, right? So you can ask me if there's any particular problem, I'm going to go back to what I talked about before. It's data. Getting our triangle of account, learning, and usage data together is massively important. We must get to that in real time. We need to have dashboards and reports that present well to all of our needs. It's always surprised me that every company I've ever worked for has had a challenge with this. And that says to me that it's universal, no harm, no foul, but it represents a cognitive shift in our operations and data people, our data scientists at those companies to prioritize. That's going to be a hard sell. I'll try to work that up into a separate podcast episode. I'm working on things right now to recontextualize that. Okay, next one is we use agile practices to ship solutions quickly versus perfecting our content. What does that mean? Look, even at a big company, you're going to be asked to help customers learn things in other kinds of ways. This is where you can leverage your own teams, such as a customer success team, or we could use other fields to trial live training. We might have a services person, a professional services person. We can use our own internal subject matter expertise to flywheel creation of new content that may not exist. So say we have a gap, we have a person that's in our services team that works with an account. They're a solutions architect or something like that. They go, hey, I do this training class because I have to. Could you package that? And that's where we have a collaboration between our teams to be able to take that and scale that up so that now that individual or other individuals have another asset to work from. It doesn't deprecate or diminish that need for that individual to be kind of that frontline amazing trainer that's in the account that has all that context. We're not always going to have that. Another thing is going back to the word agile itself. Look, agile is a really good way to do training as well. We tend to think about it programmatically. And in fact, I've done this myself. I'm not going to say I'm guilty because it's a good way to go. But let's say I have a company that knows some of what they want to do for their team, but not the rest of it. Look, fraction off a piece and say, okay, we're going to work for this sprint, which is a month, and we're going to get you the training material and get a small team of your people trained and up and running. And then we're going to have the next sprint. And then we can use Agile for actually training. Or think about that as the continuity of training where we have a relationship with the customer going over time in an Agile context. For us, we actually have an individual who we call our learning solution specialist who is more like a customer success manager. And their remit is between a CSM and an educational consultant that can work with our customers, our biggest customers, and prescribe more tailored training approaches that cover everything I've talked about, right? These scalable motions and non-scalable motions and ship to these accounts quickly things that will help and establish a relationship as a customer success person would over a period of time. This is all really great. And it also, if we're looking at doing training over time in an agile context, not just one and done, let's get it all done and it's going to be great. Now we can actually keep going along and pivot, change, do a different team, add a different thing in, get people to really engage at a higher level. Okay, so now let's go further and we've got two more. One is design experiences that we actually want to learn from versus building safe, dry learning. All right, that's where you're going to bring in events. There's no reason why you can't do training and event, but you want to give customers something different. That might be like a little workshop on a new application that you brought out to go deeper into it or something like that. Now you're actually building onto your audience base and say, well, you're only going to get this here. We might package it and send it out in a month or two later, but you want to come and be a part of this. Bringing in success champions, as we call them. Champions are those people that, look, if I was I've been this person before. I'm young. I'm excited. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to establish myself. I'm going to raise my hand to help teach. In fact, this is what I did in my career. I'll help everybody learn. And I really, you know, I like working with people and that's my kind of, I wish I could be a trainer. Now, cool. You're blessed. Go do it. And we can help you be that. One other aspect of the thing of content might even be video. So I've been talking with a company called Sunday Sky, which I think it's really neat to see these emergent AI informed kind of tools where, well, imagine if I had a library of small bits of training, like my Atlassian, my team's Atlassian Answered series, and I could carve out some of them, but then I could use a platform to actually go into Salesforce or HubSpot or whatever, and bring specific context about an account, assembling a customized experience and shipping it. Right. So now we're wedding both traditional or both material that is not customized when in a customized, more personalized context. That's just the beginning of what we're starting to be able to see that we can do with AI. And then there's serving customers that are busy in their moment of need versus making them do the work to learn, right? Good Lord, enterprise customers have it harder. Often, you know, they don't think about a vendor's academy, your academy. Worse yet, they are restricted, they're gated from using my material that I've created. Think about being a small startup that, you know, maybe your platform has some problems, but I'm working with a big company and that's not, you know, it doesn't pass SOC 2 compliance or I don't know. You can come up with all kinds of weird edge cases that happen. But really what I mean by moment of need is that our customers from a business level need to, one, be able to track consumption, meaning you're going to have to generate a port out of your database and know who everybody is and get that to them. Company can seriously limit access to external websites. There's all kinds of things there. You could be, one of the things I really like in a program that our team is working on is an idea of a hub. And a hub could be a one-to-many hub, which is, you can see one today, our Rovo adoption hub is up. And it's really cool. If you were an internal enablement person or a champion, you would look at that and go, oh, this gives me a really good idea how to roll this out, because I just purchased this whole function set of my platform and now I can roll it out to my team because it's giving me the advice that I need to instruct my team to get the training that they need, pointing to our university, our community, pointing to programs if we want more. This is really cool stuff. And going further with that, there are platforms where, you know, that we've worked at C-Lab with Brainstorm. Brainstorm is really cool. And you can see our talk that we've had on this show with them, where it's more like an internal enablement tool, but it's still an LMS and it bridges the gap for clients that have a Brainstorm account for enablement. Now you can leverage that as kind of a custom internal hub, a marketplace for your content. We've also invested in platform like Coursera, where we know that big companies may grant their team members access to something, a platform like Coursera, with the caveat that they would have some of their vendor training within that. So now I can go use my credits on Coursera or my membership to go learn about my platform. And that's another conveyance. There's all these verbs that we have now that are just amazing. Once again, let's see, for busy people, you're going to direct people to the academy. They can learn on their own. There's stuff on the web. There's courses, ILT, et cetera. But overall, we should be offering services that include both ILT tailored type experiences. We can't scale all that. So that's why we're going to bring in, and I use my terminology of a chemist to talk about a substrate layer where we're not just thinking about these high impact, high touch motifs, these engagement modes, but we're also bringing in that long tail of where you can always go to this website and you can always go to our community and ask questions and you can get your badges and your certifications and you continue the journey learning with us. That's where we're fluidly bringing the feel of education services into the feel of customer education and scaling up everything. All right, I'm almost done here. Let's talk about the future. So the next phase that we're going to go through, I think, is really not about education services or customer education. is about really thinking differently about what is learning in business, particularly in software as a service, how we are articulating that experience for the customer. A discipline that measures behavioral changes is what we're after, not butts in seats. We're looking at time to value over hours of instruction, right? Because those are what I think we've colloquially come to call vanity metrics. Yep, they're what you can measure, but do they really show the uptake and adoption of your customer based off of the material that you've generated educationally? And I'm talking about not just correlation, I'm talking about ultimately where you decouple the signal from noise and you know exactly how education is impacting your customers. It's aspirational, but I think someday we can get there. But then again, that caveats, we have to have data together. Something that I really hope for is that this one, our leadership recognizes and can help us measure impact of learning. Learning becomes an investment, not a revenue center overall. That's okay to aspire to making revenue, but it shouldn't be your be all and all be all, right? It's a driver. Learning is a driver of customer adoption at all levels. And that ultimately, I would very much again like to bring up part of the customer education manifesto, which is not everything has to be perfect. It's ideal. We're going to try at enterprise because people guarantee you are nitpicky. But if we need to ship faster and we need to have that pace, we don't have any time anymore. And that's to get to market. So very much like our product, we cannot have old school legacy type approaches to education. We need to be informed by customer success, high velocity customer education type motifs. All right. So I'm wrapping up here. And once again, I don't think the future is clear for us. It's messy. It's coming fast. And above all, it demands a level of humility from all of us. And I say this with myself in mind, because I know that I've been in many different roles and I've a couple of times said, oh, yeah, I know how to do it. No, I don't. Every single job I've had, I've been humbled and in a good way, and I've learned, and now I'm learning so much more so quickly, and it's quite a cool challenge, and I'm really appreciative to all the people I work with out there at Atlassian. So good form would be to go back to the hypothesis. Our future is to together reframe what learning looks like. I'm saying that, you know, customer education and education services are merging together, and it's a both and today. I think I've tried to thread the needle here and show you how the value of both of these things together as peanut butter and jelly coming together can really help us. Those of you who are in, well, let's put it this way. If there's a call to action to wrap things up, I would say what I'm exploring is how to grow our practice of learning in software, in business, and particularly B2B SaaS. We need to do this as a community. So I definitely look for those of you out there to engage with this content, talk to us, get on LinkedIn, email us. You want to be on the show? That's great. Speaking to our education services folks, don't fear this shift. Don't clutch. Customer Ed has proven without a doubt that it has all of the tooling and the ideas and such, and is ready to level up. And if you're a customer education professional, learn from the rigor that we've had in formal customer education services types approaches. And think about that as your future, because every program I think of that starts with a customer education genesis is going to evolve into needing to have that all of the pricing and packages and services and things that our biggest enterprise customers demand of us, right? We can't just say, go to our academy and that's it. That's not going to cut it. The customer's expecting a lot for you. And that's way beyond just an academy or a knowledge base. So ultimately, we are building a discipline, and that discipline sits at the intersection of learning, sits together there with experience and ultimately success. And the overarching perspective I'd have is, look, our ultimate goal is not just to sell training. It is to make our customers successful. And as much as it's humanly possible, or AI informed possible to do it at scale. Okay, so as we go out the door again, if any of this you thought was on the nose, great. If you want to talk about it more, be on the show. I'd love to hear from you. To our audience, I want to hear from you more about this. So please respond in the comments, reach out and talk to us. And what's the most important is to work as a team to understand how learning is really changing and helping our businesses change the way they do things and grow, and our customers grow along with us. It's just not that easy. You know, I've been at this for a decade in a formal sense with Customer Ed and now back into education services, and I'm learning every day, and I hope you will too. It's a matter of all of us working together to figure it all out. So if you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education. There you can find our show notes and other material. We are also part of the broader customer education community where you can connect with, learn from, and share your ideas with your peers, leaders, and all those folks who are making a difference. You can always find us out there on LinkedIn. Special thanks to Alan Cota for our theme music. And again, if this helps you out, you can help us out by subscribing to our show on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice, because that really helps. Leave us a positive review. That helps even more. And these two things really help expose others to our podcast and keep this whole thing going. So to our audience, thanks once again for joining me on this long solo episode. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks, everybody.